tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is a Tuesday, the 28th of April, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today I'd like to have a look at a couple of news stories that are currently in the news cycle about illegal immigrants sexually assaulting and raping white girls, and also an instance of a white man raping a Sikh girl, which is extremely rare that we hear of anything like that. And I'd like to contrast the ways that each case were dealt with. And I'm getting this from GB News, and I have to give credit where it's due. GB News are good at finding these news stories about illegal immigrants and sexual assaults. I mean, they do collate them there. You can go there and have a look, and you'll find all of these ones that you might not find on the Daily Mail and elsewhere. Yes, GB News is a massive Zionist supporter. All the presenters are huge Zionists, but they are good at reporting on cases where white people are the victims, and I have to give them credit for that. Now, this first one is absolutely scandalous. Iranian migrant 14 avoids jail after being convicted of raping schoolgirl, as victim's family are left furious. So the rapist does not even get jail, and yet the people complaining about these rapes, they get years inside for complaining about these rapes, for using insulting language when they refer to the rapists, effectively. That is considered to be more of a crime. It's more of a crime to use insulting language when talking about a rapist than it is to actually carry out a rape. That is the sad state of affairs in Britain. It is far worse to be accused of being a racist than it is to be accused of being a rapist. The teenager, who arrived in Britain by small boat, has been ordered to take part in lessons on understanding consent, boundaries, and victim awareness. And this also highlights something else that I bring up, which is that young males from these sorts of countries, from these Muslim countries, they don't understand these things such as consent. They don't understand these things such as boundaries. Never before have they had to actually control their passions, because their passions are not aroused in the countries that they live in, because the women there are covered from head to foot. They do everything they can not to arouse a man's passions. So when they come over to Britain and they see unattended girls walking around naked, they cannot control themselves. So this is the reason why these things happen. But you're not going to be able to solve the problem by teaching them about consent, boundaries, and victim awareness, are they? This young girl has had her life ruined. She's been raped now because of this policy. And this young man as well, his life will now be ruined because he was unable to control his passions, because he had no idea of how to do that, I should imagine. It's a terrible thing for all of them, everybody involved. And it's directly caused by the British government, by their immigration policy. An Iranian migrant, 14, has avoided jail after being convicted of raping a schoolgirl just 3 months after arriving in Britain on a small boat. The teenager, who arrived as an unaccompanied minor last June and was placed in foster care, was found guilty in January of rape and two counts of sexual assault following an attack on a fellow pupil. So the young boy was just surrounded by what he sees as naked girls, basically, of the same age as him at school. And the British government put this dangerous person that was, I would say, it's likely that something like this might happen, and they put him in the school. We know it's likely that something like this might happen. We know from statistics, we know from experience, we know from looking at the news reports. So how come it's still happening? Of course, the girl's family are understandably absolutely furious about this. And the judge has not even put the rapist in prison. He's just going to be put on a course on teaching him how to understand consent. Not something that really exists, as far as I'm aware, in some of these countries. You get married. Once you're married, then you're off limits, effectively. But if you see a female and she's not accompanied, she doesn't have a brother there, she doesn't have a husband there, then the way that that is seen is that woman needs a husband. She hasn't got one. How do I make her my husband? Well, if there's nobody else there, I can just take her and rape her, and then she's my wife. And effectively, that's what happens in Pakistan. If a Christian girl is left unattended, she can be raped by a Muslim, and the law is that she is then that Muslim's wife. I mean, you don't even have to go that far to find people that have that as part of their culture. I think some of the gypsies have that as part of their culture in places like Armenia. Not every culture has the same way of dealing with sexual differences as the Western culture and Western civilization. And our politicians are not stupid people. They know that these differences are there. Yet it seems more important to them that they force multiculturalism on Britain than they actually protect the people that they are supposed to be protecting, which is the indigenous British people. We are the ones that came up with the idea of a parliament in the first place to represent us, and we elect our representatives, and they're supposed to govern in our interests, and they're not governing in our interests, are they, when you have things like this going on? Instead of being sent to a young offender institution, he was ordered in mid-March to attend specialist sessions on the understanding of consent, boundaries, and victim awareness. He was also handed a 2-year exclusion order banning him from returning to the crime scene or the surrounding area. So she might see him in 2 years' time. As if you can just undo thousands of years of culture by putting someone on a specialist session on victim awareness every week. I mean, we don't have the ability to even deal with these problems, do we? When our solution to them is to just give them some lessons on consent. The attack took place on September 23rd last year, after the pair encountered each other, having previously attended the same school. Prosecutor Cassandra Roberts told the court the attacker forced his victim into the bushes beside a skate park before pushing her to the ground. Miss Roberts said he had asked the girl to do stuff before overpowering her, adding she was saying get off me and no, and this was ignored. So he's asked her, he's had his passions aroused, he's asked her to help him, he has these passions aroused, she said no, and he's just forced himself on her, because that is the sort of thing that happens in some of these countries. The court was also told that the teenager then posted about carrying out the attack on social media just hours later, so he thought that this was culturally acceptable, otherwise he wouldn't have put it on social media, would he? The victim's family were reportedly left stunned that he avoided a custodial sentence despite showing no remorse for his actions. A source close to the family told The Sun the victim's family are furious. They are outraged. This sentence is a total joke. And this is the case with all of these ones that I've read. They don't show remorse for their actions. They blame the victim. They say that it is the woman's fault. I had no intention of going out and raping a woman until that woman was there naked in front of me. And then I couldn't help myself. That's the way that they look at it. They look at it that it is not their fault. That their passions were aroused. It's not within their culture to restrain their passions. The way they deal with sexual differences is that the women cover themselves up so the man's passions are never aroused. That's a different way of dealing with it. And you can make the argument that there are less rapes that occur in these countries that are like that. okay, we would look at that over here and say, oh, well, these women are being oppressed. They have to cover themselves up all the time. But they don't get raped, do they? And in Western culture, we have a massive rape problem. And it's not caused by white people. It's caused by people from these other cultures that have other ways of dealing with gender differences, effectively. The family added, there has been no punishment. This isn't a deterrent at all. The rapist is still free and could just do it again. And it seems as if he's being looked upon as if this is just an aberration, this was just a mistake he made, and if we just teach him about consent, then he won't do it again. And effectively, it's part of his culture to do this. You're not going to be able to undo it. And also, for there to be justice, justice has to be seen to be served. The victim has to see some kind of punishment against the person that carried this out. And the fact that the judge is not punishing them, it says that the judge is seeing the person that carried this out as a victim in a way, which is what the rapist is actually saying. And that could only be true if what I'm saying is true, is that they have a different way of looking at this in his culture, and he was acting in a way that was in accordance with the way that people would act in the country that he was from if they saw an unattended naked woman, which is effectively what all the young girls look like to these Muslim men from places where their women are covered from head to toe. They just look like naked women, available women. There's no man there with them. They're unattended. Why can't I just grab her off the street? I mean, that's the sort of thing that can happen in those countries. This is a problem that we have with cultural differences. The victim has to carry this for the rest of her life while he can just go about as if nothing has happened. Shadow Home Secretary Chris Philp hit out at the sentence, saying this vile attacker should be locked up for his crimes. Custody should be the only punishment for rapists. Mr. Philp added, these attacks continue to happen under this weak Labour government who have lost control of our borders. I mean, what is he saying? Is he saying that these attacks didn't used to happen when the Conservative Party were in charge of our borders? They happened under both Conservative Party and under the Labour Party, as both of them have immigration policies that facilitate these sorts of attacks. Meanwhile, a Home Office spokeswoman said, this was a sickening crime, and our thoughts are with the victim and her loved ones. Sentencing is a matter for the independent judiciary, but foreign nationals who commit these vile crimes will be deported at the earliest opportunity. No, he won't. He won't be deported because sexual offences in Iran are hanging offences. So there's even a perverse incentive for these people to actually carry out a rape in Britain, because it means that they can never, ever be deported, because the country that they come from, if you carry out a rape, you're going to be executed. I mean, that's the reason why they won't send these people back there. Of course, if they are there, and as I say, it's part of their culture that this sort of thing can happen, it's not seen as a rape. It's seen that it's their wife. I'm referring to Pakistan here. When they find Christian girls, they will abduct a Christian girl, rape them, and then under Islamic law, that woman then becomes their wife, effectively, and that's the way that it's looked at under the Sharia law. And Iran is also Muslim, but the difference here is that he has been convicted of a rape in Britain. So if somebody has been convicted of a rape, that's not a marriage, is it? That's a rape. So if he goes back to Iran, they will hang him, and they will use that as a reason not to send him back to Iran. So there is almost a perverse incentive for people that are from these countries to carry out sexual assaults, because they know that they're never going to be deported then if they do that. The youth justice system treats custody as a last resort, and there are no fixed sentencing guidelines for juveniles convicted of rape. However, teenagers of a similar age have previously received sentences of up to 4 years in young offender institutions. Unaccompanied child asylum seekers are afforded greater legal protections than adult migrants, making deportation significantly more challenging. Britain also does not deport offenders to Iran, deeming the country unsafe for return. So that completely undermines this quote here from the Home Office saying that the people who commit these vile crimes will be deported at the earliest opportunity. Well, there is no opportunity to deport them, is there? Because Iran or the countries that they would go back to are seen as unsafe for them, as I say, because they would be hanged for those crimes. Moving on to the next one that we have here. Headline, small boat migrant who kidnapped and sexually assaulted girl 7 in hotel worked for Taliban. And what's more important about this is actually what the rapist had to say, or rather what the Afghan had to say. An Afghan man who crossed the channel by boat and sexually assaulted a 7-year-old girl previously worked for the Taliban, court findings have revealed. He has been sentenced to 2.5 years in prison after a jury convicted him of kidnapping and sexually assaulting the 7-year-old at a government-funded hotel in Acton, West London. 2.5 years. So he'll be out after a year, effectively, just over a year, for kidnapping and sexually assaulting a 7-year-old. Afsar Safi, 30, arrived in Britain in 2021 and was residing at the accommodation when the offence took place in September. So they literally just put him in a hotel with other people that were there, not just other asylum seekers. During his sentencing at Isleworth Crown Court, it was disclosed that his asylum application stated he had been associated with the Taliban from the age of 10. Well, that would have been 20 years ago. The court heard that Safi enticed the young girl away from her mother using an apple before forcibly pulling her along a corridor by her arm. He then took the child to his hotel room where the assault occurred. The victim managed to escape after she attracted the attention of security personnel at the publicly funded accommodation. Safi was subsequently arrested and charged with kidnapping and sexual assault, offences for which a jury found him guilty. The young girl provided harrowing testimony to the jury about her ordeal. "I could not tell him to go away because I was too scared," she told the court. "He put his arms around me. It feels like he's coming after me all the time." Remember, this is just a 7-year-old girl he did this to. The girl described the lasting psychological impact of the attack, explaining that her sleep is plagued by disturbing visions of the incident. "My nightmares feel like they are real, so I cry sometimes," she said. And the root cause of this, again, government immigration policy. The judge at Isleworth Crown Court handed Safi a prison sentence of 2.5 years and ordered that he be placed on the sex offender register for a period of 7 years. Well, why not for the rest of his life? If he's shown at the age of 30 that he tries to rape a 7-year-old girl, why is he not put on that for the rest of his life? Why is he even here in the first place? If it wasn't for our government's lax immigration policy, if it wasn't for them picking these people up on their boats in the middle of the channel, taking them back to Britain and putting them up in a hotel, this could never have happened, could it? If they just had a ban on accepting Afghans into the country, how many young girls would not have been sexually assaulted or raped? And instead of that, we have people like Robert Jenrick, when he was in the Conservative Party, proudly talking about how he's managed to settle 40,000 Afghans in the country. The 30-year-old could potentially be released on licence within just 6 months. So he could be in jail just for 6 months. It emerged during the sentencing hearing that Safi had declared on his asylum paperwork that he had been with the Taliban since he was 10 years old. His application for asylum was rejected, and he is currently appealing that decision. So they've said he's not even entitled to asylum. And now he's just sexually assaulted this young girl, and he will go to jail possibly for 6 months. Then they won't be able to deport him because he's been found guilty of sexual assault. And they'll have to find him somewhere to live, won't they? That's what the end result of this will be, while the poor young girl is going to suffer for the rest of her life. Speaking through a Pashtun interpreter during the proceedings, and how much did that cost to provide him with an interpreter? Safi offered his explanation for his actions, and this is the bit that we need to hear. "I like children and she was a child," he stated. "I asked her where she was going. She said she was waiting for her mother to go shopping. I kissed her to the face. I kissed her out of the love for children. Back home, all the people do that." So he's saying back home, all the people will sexually assault an unattended child. And yet, if I was to say that myself, I might get accused of inciting hate against them. But in actual fact, this is not an opinion of mine. This is coming straight from the Afghan's mouth. Back home, all the people do that. Back home, all the people sexually assault children. And he does it out of the love for children. Well, I would suggest that maybe they're a little bit mixed up in what the word love means. Perhaps he's thinking that he did that out of his want, out of his desire to have sex with children, because he certainly didn't do it out of a desire for protecting children, which is how you feel if you have love for something. You want to protect it, don't you? You wouldn't want to harm it. His legal representative argued that Safi had been enslaved by the Taliban as a child and had received only 3 years of formal education. So what is it? Why are we having people in our country who all the people will go out and sexually assault others? Why do we have a 30-year-old Afghan in our country who's only received 3 years of formal education, who even said that he used to be working with the people that we were fighting against in Afghanistan against the Taliban? It's ludicrous. It is important, I think, that we always have a look at what the guilty person actually has to say, because so many times they will say, well, this is just accepted in my country. It was the girl's fault. Everybody does it, which is what we heard here. Everybody does it basically back in their country. When is it that the people on the left are actually going to listen to what these people say and admit that the people on the right are correct in stating that these people are a threat to our children's security? Not all of them, of course, but as a group, they are a threat, aren't they? Because of how many sexual assaults and rapes take place that are attributed to individuals of their groups. Finally, bear in mind the first sentence there for rape was lessons on consent, not even a jail sentence. The second case for sexual assault of a child was 2.5 year jail sentence, which will be 6 months and then released on license. Bear that in mind when we now come to see a news story about a white man who raped a Sikh woman. This is the headline: man jailed for life over religiously aggravated rape and assault of Sikh woman. And I think they're correct. He should be jailed for life. But why do we not have the same punishment for the Afghan, the Iranian rapist, or the Afghan sexual assaultist? A man has been jailed for life over a religiously aggravated rape and assault of a Sikh woman. John Ashby, 32, of no fixed abode, has been jailed for life at Birmingham Crown Court with a minimum term of 14 years for religiously aggravated rape and assault of a Sikh woman. On Tuesday, he pleaded guilty to rape, religiously aggravated assault, and intentional strangulation, and he pleaded guilty, and yet they've still given him 14 years. In most of these cases with these illegal immigrants that rape women, they will plead not guilty. And as we'll see, they'll still only get a minimum sentence. Jurors were told that after following the woman, who was in her 20s, home in October last year, he forced his way into her property where he proceeded to rape, strangle and religiously abuse her, calling her dirty and telling her he was her master. Well, how is that any different to what some of these Afghans were saying to their white victim? I'm thinking recently of the two of them that took a girl off behind a bush, and I think they filmed it. And we were told that the footage itself was too shocking for the general public to actually see, because it would have rightfully made people absolutely furious. So how is it different here, when he's calling this Sikh girl dirty and telling her that he was her master? I don't see that that is any different, in fact, from a lot of the things that were said to the grooming gang victims. They were told that they were white trash, effectively, and that the Muslims were their master. And yet not one of those cases was described as being religiously aggravated or racially aggravated. None of them. There was no racially aggravating circumstances at all in the rapes of the white girls. Of course, we know there was, but there wasn't one charge that was increased by being racially aggravated. High Court Judge Mr. Justice Pepperell told Ashby that remarks made during the offending reveal you as a deeply unpleasant racist and Islamophobe, as if that's worse than the actual rape, is effectively what they're saying here. The judge added, you raped this woman after you forced your way uninvited into her home. You held her against her will as you sexually and physically assaulted her for at least 24 minutes. After sentencing, the judge turned to address the victim and her partner in the public gallery, telling them, I have nothing but admiration for your bravery. I hope that with time, love and support, you are able to rebuild your lives. Prosecutor Phil Bradley, KC, told jurors that despite the victim's screams, Ashby forced his way into her bathroom, attempted to strangle her, and subjected her to prolonged racial and religious abuse. During the rape, which happened at the woman's home in Walsall, Ashby referred to his private parts as being white and British and ordered the woman to say hallelujah while also ordering her to remove her clothing. The court heard Ashby later tested positive for cocaine use. When arrested in Birmingham 2 days after the attack, Ashby told officers, you never see any Englishmen in Perry Bar anymore. Why does that have anything to do with this rape? The fact that he says you never see an Englishman anymore. Well, I mean, it's probably a state of fact. But the reason why that's put in here is because he said things like that, it's considered that this rape is particularly serious. But I don't see that it's any different from the things that these non-whites have been saying to their white victims, particularly not in the grooming gangs. The sentencing hearing was told Ashby had 10 previous convictions for 18 offences and a history of drug abuse-related mental illness. So he has a mental illness and he gets 14 years, but Valdo Calacane has a mental illness and he murders 3 white people and he doesn't even get a prison sentence. This mental illness excuse also seems to get used rather a lot as a get-out clause when the attacker is black, but as we see here, it's not going to help this white man at all that he's mentally ill. At the time of the attack, he was homeless, having been discharged from psychiatric care just 3 days earlier without a support package in place. So it sounds like the fault here was really with the healthcare system, doesn't it? This was after clinicians determined he was no longer psychotic. Well, clearly he was still psychotic. The Crown Prosecution Service said Ashby was linked to the attack through DNA evidence and fingerprints recovered at the scene and was also identified by the victim at an identity parade. Senior Crown Prosecutor Rav Dillon said this was a deeply disturbing attack driven by religious hatred carried out against an innocent woman in her own home where she had every right to be and feel safe. I mean, it shows you that this person, he really doesn't have a lot upstairs, does he? Because it was a Sikh woman, and yet apparently he was motivated by hatred of Muslims. Yet it was a Sikh woman. I doubt whether he even knows the difference between Sikhs and Muslims. John Ashby targeted a complete stranger, subjected her to prolonged violence and religiously motivated abuse, and left her traumatised. Well, I suspect he would have gone after any stranger and would have come out with any insults he could think of to insult them. I mean, I'm not certain that the reason why he did this is because she was a Sikh woman. I think it more likely that the reason why he did this is because it was possible to do this. The fact Ashby initially denied these charges before changing his plea partway through the trial reflects the strength of the evidence against him. Mr. Dillon said the CPS had invited the court to treat the religious hostility displayed throughout the attack as an aggravating feature, adding no one should be subjected to violence and hatred because of their background, perceived or otherwise. And of course, that doesn't apply when the victims are white, does it? It doesn't apply at all as far as the grooming gangs are concerned. There were no racially aggravating features in those cases. He concluded, our thoughts remain with the victim who showed remarkable courage, and we hope today's sentencing brings her some measure of justice. Well, I hope it does, and I think that is correct sentencing, life sentence. But that's the same as what these non-whites should be getting, isn't it, really? Rather than being let off with, oh, you can have some lessons in consent and not even a jail sentence because you're only 14 years old. And just compare the difference there between what happens when a white man carries out a rape against a non-white person or when a non-white person carries out a rape against a white girl. It's completely different, isn't it? And it's cases like this why people say there is a two-tier justice system in Britain. I think it is quite obvious that there is a two-tier justice system in Britain. And the people that complain about these rapes, they run the risk of being sent to jail themselves for using insulting language when they describe the rapists, which is effectively what I was sent to jail for. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.